English Across the Pond.
Hi, English Across the Pond listeners. Welcome back to another episode of English Across the Pond. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Welcome to the place to learn, practice, and improve your English skills. You're in great hands today and every Friday because we, your co-hosts, are experienced English as a second language teachers. My name's Jennifer. I'm from the U.S. and I focus on American English.
My name is Dan. I'm from England and I speak English English.
British
English. Yeah, the Queen's English.
The Queen's English. So we are here, two teachers for you every single week on this free podcast conversation, helping you understand how native speakers actually communicate. We have real conversations full of natural English expressions and vocabulary. It's almost as if you are sitting at a coffee table with us having a chat. We pick random topics every week to give you a wide variety of vocabulary and the ability to talk about a variety of things in English. So this podcast is perfect if you're studying for the IELTS or TOEFL exam, or you just need to have more natural conversations in your everyday life. We have even more for our Gold members as well. That is right. You can sign up today and become a Gold member. When you subscribe to our membership, you get even more study materials. You get the transcript for this episode. You get study exercises, listening comprehension questions, gap fill exercises to practice listening and spelling, grammar focus with members only bonuses and practice, and you get a speaking task and a writing task to help you improve your writing and speaking. The best part is you get to send these exercises to us. We edit them, we correct them, and we give you personalized feedback. And this week, my friends, new members get an extra bonus transcript and study plan. So listen to our language focus at the end of our conversation and learn more about your bonus this week. Dan?
Yoo-hoo!
How are you today?
Very well, thank you. Just for the coffee shop analogy, double espresso sitting here. That's my coffee.
Yeah, I have a iced soy decaf latte.
Complicated.
My husband said, you are the joke of the complicated order at a coffee shop.
It's not a coffee episode, but my daughter now is at the age where a little coffee, a little baby Chino is no good for her anymore. And she is white hot chocolate.
White hot chocolate, huh?
Yeah. It's all change around here, this neck of the woods.
All right. Okay, well, we digress into coffee. What I want you to do is have a look around the room you're sitting in now.
Me?
Yes, you.
Okay. I'm looking left.
And everyone listening to this episode, have a little look around the room you're in now. Just paint me a picture. What would I see if I were in your room? Living room, wherever you are.
The strange thing that's in this room, which isn't normally here, is a big old suitcase. And that's because I want to throw it away. It had some old books in, and I've moved the books into a smaller thing. So the suitcase is... But there's my guitar is there, and photos on the wall, drawers, TV, jacket, baseball cap. My work shoes are there. Oh, and some headphones, because I've got headphones in, but the other ones that I used earlier didn't work very well.
Oh.
That's about it,
so
really.
All of these things, are they kind of tidy and neatly organized, or is there a little bit of a mess?
There's maybe between the two. I wouldn't say it's not OCD, obsessively compulsive tidy. But also, it's not really messy. No, I mean, it's weird to have the suitcase in here. But like my guitar, there's kind of like cables lying around. But like, it's a guitar. What are you going to do, you know? So, no, it's not messy. And it's not, certainly not dirty. But it's not really, really clean. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, the topic of our episode is cleaning today. In honor of Clean Your Room Day. So we're going to talk about being clean, being tidy, being messy. Yeah. And you brought up a good point. You said, could be a little messy, definitely not dirty.
Yeah.
So when we talk about like opposites, the opposite of clean is?
Dirty.
Dirty. However, when we have like a room, there's a big difference between a room that's messy and a room that's dirty, right?
Mm.
Walk me through the difference. What's the difference?
Well, a dirty room is actually you think that you might catch a disease. You when you sit down, very slowly on the very edge of the chair or the bed, and you think to yourself, you don't want to touch anything. And then you say, is there green in that coffee cup? Is that mold in the coffee cup? Whereas messy is just, it's clean, but there's just kind of a floor-drobe going on.
I like that, a floor-drobe.
Yeah.
A wardrobe on the floor.
Yeah.
I like that.
New word.
New word.
Mm.
So, would you consider yourself in general a messy or a clean person?
Well, I'm definitely not dirty, but no, I'm not messy, but I'm not messy either. You know what I do? Like, if there's something downstairs that needs to go upstairs, I will put it on the stairs. And later on when I go upstairs, I'll take it with me. I've got like a subconscious, I'm like a subconscious cleaning machine.
That's funny. I do the same thing. However, I must admit, I put something on the stairs to bring upstairs and it can be there like a day sometimes. And I've walked up and down the stairs at least 20 times.
I tell you, right, this is annoying. There was some rubbish in the bathroom, okay? And I threw it down the stairs. I just because I was going to come downstairs. And then, get this. So it was, some of it was on the stairs. It was like, I think it was like an empty shampoo bottle and I don't know, some paper or something. And I just threw it down the stairs because I thought in 10 minutes I'll go down. Before I went down, my daughter went down, picked her way past all the things on the stairs and just came and sat down. And I came down and said, why didn't you pick up the stuff on the stairs? You know what she said? Oh, I didn't do it on purpose. Like, what? What do you mean?
Did you do it on accident?
Did you accidentally not pick the... Like, yeah, so...
It probably wasn't even like in her radar. She didn't even notice.
You couldn't get... Now, this was my point. You couldn't get down the stairs without sort of like navigating and slaloming around these items. So don't give me that, you know.
I'm just trying to have her back.
Kids. Bloody kids.
Kids these days.
Yeah.
Not just kids, because I often ask my husband that as well. Like, did you not see those... things on the stairs? They're yours, by the way.
Yeah.
P.S. BT dubs.
As people are listening to this episode, they're either thinking, yeah, my husband or my sister is really messy. Or they're thinking, I think I'm a bit messy as well.
Yeah. There's usually one, kind of like the person that doesn't mind living in like a pigsty, like a messy kind of place. And then the, as you mentioned, the OCD, the clean freak, if you will.
Yeah.
My dad was a clean freak.
Ooh.
My mother does not mind living in a pigsty. She like she could have an inch of dust on like the on the windowsill and nobody she would not even bat an eye.
So does that mean in that way that they were the perfect couple or it was just tearing each other apart all the time or
they're divorced, Dan.
I don't know why I laughed. Nervous laugh.
Maybe that was the end of them. Who knows? But chores, who does the different types of chores in your family? Do you guys have a chore chart? Is it just known? Did you have to kind of establish the rules? Talk to me about cleaning in your household.
Yeah. Well, my daughter's main job is not to turn any lights. Oh, her main job is to turn lights on and not turn them off. She is an expert. Unbelievable. Really good. And my job is to go around and turn them off after she's not turned them off. Okay, I'll stop with that bit. And so, no, we kind of... At one point, we did sort of have a chore chart. And I've got a feeling that it sort of fell by the wayside. And we used it for a while. But no, it's as and when sort of thing. But my wife might disagree. But I would say I do the main bulk of the keeping this place shipshape, I would say.
Mm, so keeping a top-notch, clean household, it's your job.
Yeah, but...
We reverse those stereotypes.
Woo! But then cooking, we were finding... this isn't cleaning, but cooking... we were finding that we were sort of like scrambling at the last minute and like getting home and realizing there was nothing in. So now my wife does Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I do Tuesday, Thursday.
Oh, good on you guys. Look at that little schedule.
And today we had, I'm just getting the app, Deliciously Ella. We had, hold on, what was it called? Can I find it? Smoky black bean stew. Yeah, smoky from the paprika. Do you say paprika or paprika?
Paprika. Oh my gosh! Now I'm like having like a, I don't know.
A paprika meltdown.
Smoked paprika. Smoked paprika. Paprika.
Well, you say oregano, so anything's possible.
I know. I mean, you say basil, so.
What do you say?
Basil.
Basil. Yeah, love it. You crazy basil. Americans.
Chores.
Yeah, sorry.
What are chores that nobody wants to do?
You know what? I don't like kitchen bin. Ugh.
I don't like the kitchen, period.
Yeah,
that's
really.
Luckily, that's my husband's job. He's in charge of dishes and like the countertops, and like every night he kind of does that. But I was also thinking that's also because I do most of the cooking, believe it or not, even though I married a chef. I am the one that does the majority of the cooking at home.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm just patting my back. So I think that's because that's that division of labor in a sense, right? Like I cook, you clean.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. You mean you mean that you cook the dinner, so he, do you say washes the dishes? Do you say that?
Yeah, he washes the dishes.
Is that what you mean?
What do you say?
Yeah. The same. I just wonder. Okay. People say wash the pots as well, but I mean, it's the same sort of thing, really. Yeah, whereas we generally do, whoever cooks does the whole thing.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Oh, no, it's okay.
That's so much work for somebody.
No, but it means the next night you don't do anything at all.
Oh, so if you're able to divide the cooking. Okay, that makes sense. I think we're not really able to do that because of our schedules.
Oh, yeah.
So I usually cook. He comes home. Dinner's kind of ready. We eat. And then he'll kind of clean up afterwards. And then we kind of split the bedtime routine for our little one.
Yeah, and true story, this. Tonight, I've already mentioned the smoky, was it? Black bean stew. And... we'd eaten, and I just left all the pots just for a minute because I wanted to watch the end of this TV show. And my wife just came down, and she didn't come down to do the dishes, but she ended up, I think she came down to get a tea, but she did the dishes, and it wasn't her turn to do the dishes.
What an angel.
I'm a lucky guy. Yeah.
What a guy. Mm. I also thinking about the jobs, the cleaning that no one wants to do, pets, the pet cleanup.
Oh, yeah.
Litter box, my friend. Litter box. I'm also very happy to say that I don't do the litter box. That's also my husband's job.
How many cats?
Thanks, hubby. We have two. So that is that. How young was your daughter when you started teaching her the responsibilities of chores and cleaning?
From the earliest opportunity, not because I want her to sort of learn. Not that I want her to do it because I don't want to do it, but that's life, isn't it? I mean, you've got to like, you know, start early. There's no point waiting until she's 10 and saying, now you're going to have to start helping around the house. No, she's always done it. So we kind of cooked together tonight. What did she do? Oh, she was just stirring the stuff and put the tomatoes in and things. And her knife skills have improved. I don't always think she's going to cut her hand off now.
Nice.
But she will do it if she's asked, but she doesn't do it. She doesn't see it or think about it if she's not asked.
Yeah. Well, I think that's an interesting concept you brought up about, like, oh, you know, not waiting until she's 10 to do it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of our listeners perhaps come from a country where having a house cleaner or having a maid, having someone who helps around the house is a common thing.
Yeah.
You know, I can speak for Brazil, for example. I know Brazil, it's quite common to have a maid. How about in your country or where you've lived? How common is it to have somebody who helps you clean the house?
Yeah, here it's not common at all because, like, the national minimum wage is so high that it's, you know, you'd have to have a lot of money to be able to afford to pay someone to clean the house because there is a national minimum wage and that is quite high. However, I had maids, kind of, you know, people come to clean the house when I was in Vietnam and China and Thailand, and often, not always, but well, sometimes it was more trouble than it was worth because they didn't come or they didn't understand what you wanted or they didn't do, and then you had to find them and then explain it again. And then, I mean, I'm not blaming them. I'm sure it was a communication breakdown, but it was kind of, I might as well just do this myself. And, you know, if you do it yourself, it can be therapeutic. You can also sit back and think, I did that.
And, yeah. You know,
sense
it's
of
also great exercise.
There you go. You see? So, we had a maid once, and if we left like chocolate in the fridge because it was a hot country. And not only would she eat the chocolate, she just dropped the wrappers on the floor and just left.
The housekeeper would eat their chocolate and leave trash on the floor?
Yeah, the trash was actually the chocolate that was our chocolate. She'd leave the empty wrappers like on the floor, right in front of the fridge.
How interesting! When she was there to pick up, she actually left things on the ground. Interesting.
She was worse than having nobody cleaning.
Well, yeah, because she ate your stuff and left a mess around.
Yeah, she didn't read the rule book properly.
Yeah. How about machines that do cleaning? What types of machines do cleaning in your house?
Oh, well, I would like a remote controlled, like, GPS thing to cut the garden, which are becoming quite common now. But
to what the garden?
To cut the grass. To cut the grass.
Oh, yard. Got it.
And when it gets to the edge of the grass, it sort of turns around and comes back again. Do you know what I mean? And it cuts the whole garden, lawn, grass.
The lawn, the grass, and the front yard or the backyard. Got it.
We haven't got one of them. Well, if any of our listeners have got amazing speakers, they might have been able to. I think the washing machine's just finished. We got a washing machine. We got a fridge. We don't got a dishwasher, but we've got washer dryer. And but we haven't got room for like a dishwasher as well. The kitchen's too small.
Yeah.
What about you?
We have a dishwasher. That we use most of the time. We hand wash a lot of stuff. Mm. We have a washer and a dryer, or a washing machine and a dryer. Important vocabulary lesson. We never call it a drying machine.
True.
We do also use a clothes horse, though. One of those little racks to hang a lot of our
clothes.
We've
got them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's all. We actually have two. But there's the Roomba, right? It's like the robot vacuum that like just like goes to the floor and vacuums. It's a robot vacuum. That's pretty dang cool.
Cool. That's the sort of thing that cats sit on.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the most popular cleaning machine that is kind of accessible to a lot of people. I mean, it's expensive, but it's not massively expensive. I think it's a couple $100.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
You don't have one.
No.
Not in our budget of things we want.
No. At the moment, the robot that cleans the floor is me.
I know. I am the robot as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think it's time to clean our rooms because you didn't ask me the question, but when I look around my office, it's kind of untidy right now.
But you're a tidy person.
I am a tidy person. Yes. I need things to be clean. Otherwise, I get a little bit like, I can't relax because I'm like, oh gosh, I can't relax because look at all these things I need to do. Yeah, so when it's nice and tidy, I can relax.
I'm like that. Jinkies. Who do you
think's cleaner, you or me?
No, you. I think you are.
Interesting.
But I don't know for a fact. But I would imagine that you are. But maybe we're quite similar.
Maybe we're similar.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks for listening, our dear listeners. Remember to stick around. We are sharing a special bonus study plan that new members get when you sign up this week. So stick around for our language focus and learn a little bit more about that.
Lovely chatting. That seemed like 5 minutes.
I know. They always do. They fly by.
Yeah. Until next time.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, 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 bye.
Bye, bye.
And this language focus is back with part 2 of our adjective clause lesson. You can review part 1, our first grammar about adjective clauses, in episode 141 about books. Now, as a quick review, an adjective clause is a part of a sentence, a clause that has a subject and a verb, and it's giving additional information to a noun. So it's a sentence, a part of a sentence, describing a noun. An adjective clause. It can be a subject or an object adjective clause, and it almost always begins with a relative pronoun. Relative pronoun examples are who, that, which, where, when, whom, etc. So today we're going to go into a little bit more about these relative pronouns. We're going to talk about when they can be omitted, and we're going to identify 2 different types of adjective clauses: identifying adjective clauses and non-identifying adjective clauses. Now, all of these are really important when we talk about whether or not a relative pronoun can be omitted. So last time, in episode 141, we shared an easy way to tell if an adjective clause was a subject or an object. Again, very important when we learn about the rule for omission. But what about an adjective clause is identifying, and what about an adjective clause is non-identifying, and what does that even mean? So, if you have an adjective clause that is necessary to fully understand the sentence, if an adjective clause is essential, 100% necessary to identify who or what the speaker is talking about, then this is an example of an identifying adjective clause. Again, the information in the adjective clause is essential to identify the noun that it is describing. However, if your adjective clause is just extra information about a noun, just extra information for the sentence, then this is not necessary to identifying it. It's not essential to understand what the noun is or who the noun is. So this is an example of a non-identifying adjective clause. So some examples. If I said, for an example, the guy who is wearing the red shirt is a talented author, I need the adjective clause, who is wearing the red shirt, to identify who the guy is. If I just told you, the guy is a talented author, you might be wondering, who? Who's a talented author? Who's the guy? What guy? So the guy who is wearing the red shirt is a talented author. Who is wearing the red shirt is the adjective clause, and this is necessary to identify who I am talking about. It's necessary information, it's essential information, and why it's an identifying clause. However, if I were to say to you, my husband, who is a chef, works at a delicious restaurant. My husband is already identified. You know who the noun that I'm talking about is. You know that I'm talking about my husband. I only have one, so you know who it is that I'm talking about. The other information, who is a chef, is extra. So I don't need the adjective clause, who is a chef, to identify the noun, my husband. Again, you don't need the information that he's a chef to know who I'm talking about. Because this is extra information, it is a non-identifying adjective clause. Now, relative pronouns. We have who, that, whom, which, where, whose, and when. These are all used in different types of adjective clauses, and sometimes you can even omit them. So we use who and that to describe people in a subject adjective clause. We use which and that to describe things and places in a subject adjective clause. For an object adjective clause, we use who, whom, that, or nothing to describe people. In an object adjective clause, to describe things or objects, we use which, that, or nothing. In an object adjective clause to describe places, we use where or in which. For adjective clauses of possession, we use whose. And in adjective clauses of time, we use when. Now the rule about omission is you can only omit the relative pronoun in identifying object adjective clause. Again, you can only omit the relative pronoun in identifying object adjective clauses. Now, I know this is a lot of information, so I recommend heading over to our website and downloading our study plan where you can get all of this information in our study plan in the language focus section. This language focus is going to have all of this information reviewed. It's going to have part one, episode 141, reviewed. You're going to see some sentence examples. You're going to see all the information written out, and you're going to get our members only gold member bonus. I'm going to share some more important rules about the non-identifying clauses. I'm going to go into an explanation about the difference between who and whom. And our gold members today will also learn about the most common relative pronoun. So sign up to become a gold member today so you can get that study plan, bonus materials, and extra information. And this week only, our new members will also get episode 141's study plan as a bonus. So when you sign up to become a gold member this week and this week only, you will get this week's episode 151. You'll get the study plan for part two of this adjective clause episode. And you, as a bonus, as a thank you, as extra, you will receive episode 141's study plan to review as well. So head over to our website, englishacrossthepond.com, and click gold. We'll see you there.